Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an adult recalls a childhood friend, memories of playing games, running around the house, and exploring the outdoors. The only catch, the childhood friend had black eyes, and ultimately was seen by only one person. Who was this child, and what did it want with the living? We ask that question and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the program, you want access to all of our bonus episodes, new ones every week, our archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, as well as advanced episodes, all of it completely commercial free, then sign up to be an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. You can do that through Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or our website, ghostpodcast.com, to get in on all of that. It's Tony, Carol, and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. How's everyone doing? Don't all speak at the same time.
I'm not going to cuss, but I will tell Harper something that's sweet that yesterday my dog turned 16 and 5 months old.
Aww.
Wow.
Isn't that sweet? Which is so crazy because you're 9. My dog is like almost twice as old as you. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah. And they're both red.
16 and 5 months old.
16
That's just
and
crazy.
5 months old. My gosh.
And the funny thing is today, he wanted to go for a walk. It was feeling pretty good. And walked the farthest he's walked in probably a month or more.
Oh.
I know.
Good. That's, yeah.
That's either good or near death.
No, I mean.
Don't watch it. We don't.
Filter.
Just so you know, Harper, we don't talk about that to Carol.
Yeah. We don't say that. Oh, you're just full of them tonight, aren't you?
Dang, do we have to do this episode with her?
I know.
Jesus. You shall be forced.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to calm down a little bit over there. Okay. So yeah. Well, that's amazing. That
I know, isn't that sweet?
He's like the Energizer Bunny or Energizer Dog. It just
Energizer Buddy.
Yes. There we go. Energizer Buddy. But no, that's really cool. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, I have plenty of stories to tell when it comes to the spirit world, but this one sticks out the most for me. In 2020, I lived with my husband on my family's farm in Tuna, Missouri. We no longer own it. We had our 1.5-year-old daughter with us, and I was pregnant with our son. I'd grown up on this farm and remember spirits being out there from way back when, but that's another story. I kept seeing the face of a little boy all over the house, white face, black eyes, and a mouth, short, black hair. He was younger, probably 6 or 7. My daughter would hide in the closet in the back bedroom and talk to what seemed like herself, would play in the closet alone. And throughout the day, I would find her there many times, and I wasn't too concerned. Until I woke up one night at 3 a.m. and she wasn't in her bed. I walked through the house looking for her everywhere, but something told me I should look in the closet. I opened the door to what was the back bedroom, and what I saw, I can still see clearly in my head, like my memory took a picture. It shook me to my core. My daughter sitting on the bottom bunk with my niece who was staying the night. Behind them on the bed, it was an all-black figure with gray eyes, its wrinkled hands on my hand, and my daughter, the other on my niece. The energy it gave off froze me in my spot. I blinked, trying to make it disappear, trying to wake up, because how could this be real? I took a step forward, and the entity disappeared. What shook me the most is the girls didn't even flinch. It's like nothing was there. They were completely unafraid of whatever had been there. We stayed another month or two after my son was born. My family went through a tragedy unconnected to the occurrence, and we moved out. The property itself was haunted. Being an empath has its downsides, that's for sure. That's one place I surely won't be returning to after we sold the property to new owners, burned down the original structures. We asked why? The answer was clear. They too had stood face to face with whatever had taken hold of the house and the land. I hope they got rid of it, but I have no idea. They still live out there, and all I can do is pray that they're being left alone. It was truly a haunting experience. It was a haunting experience reading it because there were no periods in the entire thing.
That makes it really difficult.
Oh, so I'm trying to figure out where the sentences end, and I think I did an okay job, but yeah.
I think you did a really good job.
Yeah. Punctuation. Yes. Good story, but please put periods.
Okay.
Makes it easier. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so the wrinkled skin obviously shows some definite age in this. So this is not like a young childlike ghost. It's more so like an older spirit.
Or is it just taking different forms?
So that's kind of creepy to think about, if you really think.
Yeah, I mean, I
go over that part again. So he's or she saw the shadowy thing with the kids right there.
From what I understand, the writer saw the child spirit when they were younger, in this property, and
all I heard was wrinkled hands,
and then that was the black eyed. Like kind of child kid that she was like, it was like an imaginary friend, but she was playing with it. Then when she had kids, their kids started to see these things too. And then that's where the story of the wrinkled thing comes in adulthood.
That's where the story of the wrinkled
thing. So did the ghost age as well?
Well, I wonder if it just took two different forms of, you know, being horrifically scary. When she was younger, it was the black eyed child, and the other,
This wrinkled this, long hand thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, either way, but I don't want to
It doesn't
see.
Necessarily even have to be the same thing.
No.
You
no.
know, if they were in different places.
But yeah. Then you've got to think about, if it is two different things, how did they die?
Or
did yeah. they die?
Yeah.
Or are they just naturally there? Now, that's the scary part about all this. It's how did they die?
Why are they there?
And why do they look that disformed?
Oh, I think that's a fear thing with that part.
Because it's interesting that anybody that would see something, and you know, because Tony and I talk about this all the time. I bet you guys do too, about how, you know, kids will see things. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're little, you'll see things, but a lot of times you grow out of it.
Yeah.
So that would be really weird to have that happen with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
To see, but what if it is the same thing? The same thing.
I mean, it could be.
I mean, like,
that'd be an interesting decision to make as the new homeowner going, okay, this is just too darn haunted. We're going to burn it down. You know, I mean, depending on the shape of the place, it could be an easy decision. Like, yeah, we'll just build something better, and you know, there's no salvaging this place.
Or we but I don't can know. Make it look like it was an accident.
Exactly.
And we can get a brand new unhaunted house.
Arson.
I wonder. I mean, is there ever like a clause in insurance policies or anything about ghosts being cause of things? Or
like, well, then,
but like, if you were good at arson and you were able to.
Arsonist.
What I'm saying, if you are a good arsonist and you are able to burn down the house,
do you get paid to be an arsonist?
When you got rid of the demons, mm-hmm. the evil shit, and you got a new house out of it. Now, I don't think I'd want it on the exact same spot.
Yeah.
But then what happens if you rebuild and it didn't go away?
That's the thing. Yeah. I think sometimes when you have things like that, and it's not necessarily even the structure, it's the area, the plot.
Then you become a really good arsonist. Burn
the same house that just keeps burning down on the same property over and over and over.
Until they get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting story. I'd love to see what the original house looked like, if there's a picture of it. But thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, hi, guys. I recently started listening to your podcast, and of course, I'm addicted. Although while listening at work, I'm more susceptible to being scared crapless when someone comes around the corner in our very quiet lab. I've always been into the paranormal, and I've had quite a few encounters. My favorite story is the one I'll tell you now. In my early 20s, I'm 30 now, my grandma had a dog named Cleo, and she loved this dog. She had no one after my grandpa passed besides her. Cleo brought her the love and companionship that she needed. She did everything for her, made sure she had her special vitamins, the best food, professional pictures taken, etc. Now, my grandma is very sane, not a woman that gets confused easily, but she is a woman who cannot do a lot of things physically. She gets around but can't lift or bend easily. With all that said, my story can now begin. It was spring, maybe around Easter. My grandma had taken Cleo for her first and only professional photo shoot. When she got the pictures back, she showed them off like my proud mama would. She passed them around to family and friends at the beauty shop, safely tucking them into the white envelope after each viewing. A few weeks later, she was going to purchase a frame from her beloved photos and could not place them. They were not in her bedroom, on her dining room table, in her purse, anywhere. She was very upset at the thought of them being gone forever, possibly being tossed away with the junk mail as they were in a white plain envelope. She'd shake her head and say, I just can't imagine where they could be. Months passed and the pictures were nowhere to be found. She felt like she was going crazy. We could come up with no explanation. Finally, December arrived and it was time to drag the tree out of the basement, aka my job. My job for a reason, because to get the tree, you must move a chair, a garbage can, home care equipment from when my grandfather was still alive, and two skinny trees from the front porch just to get to the tree box. On top of the tree box is a tote full of decorations, another box with more decorations, then a huge rug and a shower curtain covering the box. Whew, that's a lot of stuff. See why it's my job? And the actual tree box is shoved under the steps and tied up like a hog. And of course, you have to haul the dismembered tree up the steps through the house to the living room, sort by color of the hooks that hook into the tree stand, and fluff the branches to put the damn thing together, something she cannot do alone. So after all that, we are sorted, fluffing. My grandma says, what do the directions say? What color's first? I get the plastic bag that the directions are in and pull out the directions and a white envelope. You know where this is going. So I hand it to her and say something like, did someone miss out on their present and it got packed away? She doesn't think so and proceeds to open it. And there were the lost pictures of Cleo. The looks on her faces must have been priceless. Shock, relief on her part. How those pictures got in there, we will never know. But we think it's my grandpa. Lots of other things go missing in her house, only to be found months or years later in places that are impossible for her to get to alone. We have a very small family and no tricksters, so I can't imagine how this continues to happen. I have a few other stories like this. I'd love to share them again someday soon. Thanks for your podcast. Carol, thoughts on that?
You know, I was just having a conversation the other day with somebody about this same thing, about how things will go missing. Because I think some, I don't know if it's happened to you, I assume it has. And you've torn up the house, you've looked all over, you can't find it, you give up. Months later, you open a drawer, there it is. And I'm like, how, we were talking about that, and whoever it was, they had a term for it. I can't remember. It was really kind of funny, obvious term. But I mean, that's a really common thing that happens to a lot of people, or at least in my head it does.
Yeah.
Because it's happened to me so many times over the years that I don't understand it. Like, I remember, and I think it was Princess Diana when she died. And I bought the People magazine. And so I don't even know why I was like going to show somebody, here's my People magazine with Princess
Diana. That's what everybody did back in that time. But it's like, it's like if something big happened, did you get the, I have the People magazine from this or that? I think I have like the People magazine from the end of Seinfeld. And I
don't keep you keep the newspaper with the Princess Diana died on the cover. And, but, and it was something like Princess Diana. I don't remember what it was. And I tore up my house. Like, I couldn't find that thing anywhere. And I'm like, it was right here. Like, I always kept it in this drawer. Like, that's where I kept all my special magazines back then. And so I opened the door. It's gone. So months later, I was moving and I got ready to empty out that drawer and pack it up. And I opened up, there's Princess Diana on the top. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like she was gone. And now she's back.
It makes me wonder, like that, you know, that stuff sometimes. Is it that, you know, sometimes things are, because I have this all the time where I'm like, okay, I need to get my scissors or something, some sort of household object that I use on a fairly regular basis, but ends up just getting moved around because you use it in all different places. And it's like, in my mind, I'm like, I just saw that, you know, like within the hour almost. And then I'm like, but I can't place where I saw that. And I know it was there. And then sometimes I figure it out and I go there and it's not there. But then I'm like, well, why do I feel like it just was? I don't know. I don't think things are, you know, moving around my house. I think I'm just getting older.
It's weird. Like in that case, like, okay, here are the pictures. I'm keeping the pictures. The pictures are in this envelope.
Yeah.
And the pictures should be right there and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's so weird. And it's happened to me a lot.
Yeah.
Over and things like that. Like, this is something that really mattered to me, like why Princess Diana, the People magazine, but it did. And because I really liked Princess Diana. But then it's weird, like, here's where I keep it. It's mm-hmm. not there. And no. Then it's there. I don't get it.
I don't know. I wonder sometimes if things are just so... we almost become blind to the fact that they're there. And because we see them so frequently and it just becomes such an ingrained thing where it's like, I've had that where it's like, well, where is that? And it's like, oh, I see this every single day of the week and I couldn't figure out where it was, but it's just been.
But like in that case, then how'd the pictures end up in with the Christmas tree?
And that I don't know. That's a different one.
Yeah, that is a weird one. But my main question with this was, why would you move like dog pictures around if you were a ghost just moving random stuff? Just why?
I think it was because whoever put them there, if it was a ghost, knew that it would bring her some joy and some happiness. So that's where you think, oh, it's probably the husband. That's, you know, because that's what you would do if you were alive. Like you'd go try and find something that your significant other is looking for.
And I think that sometimes not all ghosts are evil and horrible. Yeah. I think that some of them are kind of like going to mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so it's like, I'm just doing this to mess with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it'll show back up later.
Yeah.
That's probably what I mean,
that's not a bad ghost to have.
No, it's just, yeah, I think it's, there's probably a lot of helpfulness to the ghost where it's like, well, I do want to help, but there's only, I'm kind of limited on this side of what I can do, but I'll, you know, here's your car keys and you're looking for them. Or I wonder how many times we actually have things like that happen where,
please give me back my Princess Diana People magazine,
where we only notice, you know, when something's not where it should be. How many times is it where we put something where it shouldn't be and we weren't going to find it and we knew we're not going to find it and the ghost knew we weren't going to find it, so they moved it for us and put it where we should have put it to begin with? Kind of like in reverse.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Like maybe we misplace things far more often than we think we do, but something else is kind of looking out for us and kind of, you know, nope, we're going to make this easier for you today. And then you have the ones that do the exact opposite. I don't know. Just a thought. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi guys, thank you so much for taking my call and listening to my story. I love your show so much. But anyway, I'll get on to my story. I'm a little nervous and I wrote it down first. So in some areas it might sound more like I'm reading, but I'll try to tell you. Sorry. Okay, let me pull it up. Okay. So my story took place around 1993-94. I was 18 years old and living in a small town in southern Utah. Living in a small town, we did small town things like entertain ourselves. One of the few but very popular options among the high school population was to drag Maine. This consisted of driving from one end of Main Street to the other end. trying to link up with friends or meet new ones. Preferably a car full of cute boys. Main Street was barely a half a mile. I believe there was only two stoplights. My red Subaru hatchback was loaded full of my friends, more girls than seatbelts. We had taken several drags down Main and had struck out, so we decided to detour off the beaten path. There's a good chance we had Salt and Pepper or George Michael blaring from the factory speakers and probably some peach schnapps concealed in our soda cups, which could have easily been our deterrent. But we were determined to make a connection, so we left Main Street behind. We had two options. Number one, drive through the town cemetery and tell the story of the devoted cat that comes and sits on her owner's grave every night since she died. A story everyone in that town had heard a million times and has now become a rite of passage. So what you do is you drive slowly through the graveyard, and if you turn your lights on this particular headstone just right, it looks like a silhouette of a cat. Newcomers gasp, and the rest of us pretend to. Like I said, small town entertainment. Or there is the second option. Cruise the college streets, the heartbeat of the little town, in hopes to meet someone new who hasn't got the memo to drag Maine. So we opted for the latter and struck out there too. Damn Salt and Pepper. So we are finishing up our detour and headed back toward Maine for one last drag down Main Street, before calling it a night. We were about four blocks away when we approached a stoplight, laughing about whether we had time to do a Chinese fire drill or not. And if you don't know what that is, it's when everyone gets out of the car at a red light and runs around the car and tries to make it back to their seat before the light turns green. Like I said, small town fun. And suddenly I look up from our shenanigans, and there in front of me were six men crossing in front of us in single file. Like, you have to understand, it's maybe 12:30, 1 in the morning. It's just an odd scene. They were all in step and straight-faced, facing forward, same height, crossing from the right corner where a mortuary stood, which, in fact, that didn't stand out at the time. I didn't really even think about it till years later when I was telling the story about where it took place. So crossing from the mortuary side to the other side, which had a school bus garage on one side and the Baptist church stood on the opposite corner. So we were frozen trying to make sense of what we were seeing. It looked out of place the time of night, or any time really. Something was weird. Our frozen observance was quickly broken with a friend ordering me to follow them. When the light turned green, I made a quick left turn to follow them between the garage and church. We rolled down our windows, laughing at the oddity, searching for understanding of this bizarre scene. Through our laughter, we could hear several of us questioning, "What are you guys doing?" Without saying a word, they continued marching in sync and staring straight ahead. We were met only with their profile of their six faces, which only piqued our curiosity further. So we inquired again and again. We were non-relenting. Then suddenly a response, but it wasn't what we expected. It jarred us and froze us for a brief moment, as if in a choreographed move, they all quickly snapped their heads toward us, all six pair of identical eyes on identical faces, framed with identical hairstyles, coldly stared. It was like staring into a mirror that is facing another and seeing exact replicas of oneself repeating infinitely. But here, it wasn't my face, but another. And it, or they, shouted in unison, "Go away." Suddenly, another shout woke me from my shock and disbelief, this time from my back seat. "Drive." Now on a side road, I was half a block away from what we just saw, and then I hear, "What was that?" Another voice, from my back seat. We have to go back. Turn around. Let's follow them. My friends are begging me to turn around. So, of course, why are they all not? Nothing else to do. We are now only a small town block away. We flip around and headed back. We are met with a void where they once stood. They are completely gone. Dark street, nowhere. There was nowhere for them to go. No street lights, business lights, house lights, nothing. If they went into a building, the light would be on. No buildings to go into in that amount of time. They were just gone. We tried to make sense of it and drove along the cross street that separated the block. We had just drove down and nothing, absolutely nothing. Defeated and confused, our laughter had turned into shock and silence as we headed back to the intersection where we took the detour that lured us off track in the first place. We sat on the dark side street in silence, waiting, and this is where it gets even weirder. We're waiting for that red glow above to bathe us in green. The only sound was from my blinker, a steady sound signaling a left-hand turn. When suddenly we felt it. It was tangible. It's giving me chills right now. The thought gives me goosebumps each time. Above us, it crept. Our heads snapped up collectively to see what could possibly be above us. We're in a car at a stoplight. There's nothing that should be above our car, but we felt it. It was massive. Massive darkness. Undeniable darkness. It was slowly just creeping and engulfing us in its depth, in its mysterious shadow. The blackness weighed heavily upon our innocence. Suddenly, green reflected from our terrified eyes, and we were released from the clutches of darkness. Before I had completed that left-hand turn, headed back to Main Street to pick up where we had left off, we all were in tears, like full-blown, sobbing, snotting tears. We were shook. Absolutely shook. No explanation, no answers, but real, undeniable, yet unexplainable fear. Fear that hit each of us the same. It made our skin crawl and our core shake and our eyes tear up instantly and made us sink into areas of our soul we never knew existed, seeking solace and an escape from the unknown. I listened to many of your podcasts and your stories, and mostly just trying to make sense of that night. And I mean, both the identical single file men and also just that dark shadow that hovered above us. And I haven't heard anything quite the same. And hopefully someone listening maybe has an explanation or has something similar, but it was pretty terrifying and one of the most scariest things that ever happened and the most unexplainable. But thanks again for airing my story. I hope this makes it on the air, actually. Anyway, love you all, love your show, and continue the awesome work. Thanks again.
What do you think of all that, Carol?
You know, like, I was totally relating to it because I grew up in a small town. We did the Dragon Maine stuff, like the cemetery stuff, like all that.
Yeah.
But I've never even heard of anything quite like that. And like, I spent a lot of time driving around in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And but like the men all lined up and like, I don't know what the, and then the thing, like, look up, there's something above them, like, what? I have no idea. Like, I wish I had some big explanation for that
with the whole like men in a line thing. It almost kind of sounds like the cover to the song Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. They're all crossing the street and they all have the same hair.
It's
well, it made me think of almost like
cult, like a like cult type thing.
Nazi sort of,
yeah.
You know, the communist kind of way they march.
Yeah.
like very, very synchronized. So I was thinking of communism and your daughter was thinking of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But I never heard of anything like that. Then I thought it was weird that then they drove off and they're like, let's go back. Mm-hmm. Why would you go back? That's the one thing I never get. If you got away from it successfully, why do you ever go back? Why go back?
Because it's such a shocking, crazy thing that it's like, did that really just happen? You almost like,
okay.
So you feel like you're not crazy. Like, you're not going to get too close, but you just want to like verify, oh yeah, that is going on over there or what. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I would go back. I
wouldn't go back.
I'd be good.
It's almost, I'd be like, now maybe, you know, maybe what she didn't say was they had all dropped acid that night. Sorry, Harper.
Yes.
But maybe they had done some illegal drugs. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do drugs, Harper. And maybe she neglected to tell, or maybe somebody put that in their drink that they had peach schnapps. Maybe somebody else did that.
Yeah.
And they didn't know it. I don't know.
Like it was just a really weird trip.
Exactly. And then one person's like, oh my God, do you see that? And others are like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all having the same hallucination. This is bizarre. I don't know. I think that's just crazy.
It was a very bizarre story.
I totally relate to all of that story, like the driving around, which for those people who never lived in a small town, it's like driving on the same street over and over and over.
Is that still a thing?
All night long, just so you can see that car. It's like, here they come. It's the guy I like. And then you honk at him and it's like, oh my God, he waved.
Do kids even do that anymore though?
No, no, they don't, Dad.
Well, you're $5 a gallon of gas. I hope not. But back then, like, I don't think they do it where I don't think they do it where I used to live.
Cruise in Maine.
For a long time. Yeah. They did it here during COVID.
Oh yeah.
It was kind of cool. And so they used to do it on a street downtown and it's just two lanes.
Yeah.
And so it's like all the downtown buildings and stuff. And they had quit doing that before I moved here. But one night during COVID, they're like, let's go drag Maine. And so I'm like, let's go. So I go get my friend James. My dog's in the car. We go to drag Maine. And it took us maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours because everybody else in town went.
Was like, doing it. Was, yeah.
Like we made it maybe 6 or 7 blocks.
Wow.
But it was super fun, like just looking at people, and then the cops shut it down. They didn't like it. And I get it. It caused a major traffic jam, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took forever. Then you couldn't, it isn't like, okay, we're stuck here. But at least in COVID, you know, it was kind of a fun thing to do during the shutdown.
All those fun things that we did.
I know. Like, there was nothing fun.
There was nothing fun about it. Like,
I was like, I'm going to go drag Maine. Come on, James.
I know. It's like,
I'm going to take Buddy.
When we're back to living somewhat of a normal life, and we're like, oh, yeah, we did do that for fun. It's like, God, we were like really bored.
We were pathetic.
Yeah.
Anything to get out of the house.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
One thing I relate that story to when they turn around it to go see them again. To me, it's just like, if your house is burning down, do you throw gasoline at it or do you not?
No, no.
Well, it's kind of like if your house is burning down, you run away from it. You don't go back to go, is it really burning down?
Could it burn the sofa yet? I'm going to sit here on the love seat and wait till the sofa catches fire.
I'm
going
to go into the living room to make sure it's burning down.
Maybe I'll get a cup of coffee while I'm at it. Yeah.
It'll be hot.
Unless if there's a ghost in there.
Well, as it's flaming away. All right, there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol and Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.